Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bowls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bowls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bowls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbowls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score is with me. And, Cody, we've actually got hard Bulls news.
We're going to delay trade rumor discussion for maybe 45, 60 seconds to let you know Dwayne Wade will be a Chicago Bull, at least to start the 2017-18 NBA season, as he informed Bulls management that he is exercising his $23.8 million player option for next season that we all expect him to pick up, Sean.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, we've talked about a million times about it on this podcast. We don't really need to rehash the whole thing again. He's making a ton of money. His family likes it here. You know.
The only notable part, I will say, is that he could have waited until after the draft to do this. This shows that he's in it, whether the Bulls are rebuilding and trading Jimmy Butler, or if they're trying to chase the 7 seed next year. Did you read anything into the timing whatsoever of it?
I think what I read into it was just that he wants his $24 million and he's not going to
do
it. I mean, right. The one thing that's kind of interesting that I just started thinking about today, now that, you know, this Jimmy stuff has been picking up and it seems like there's maybe a little bit greater chance that they actually trade him, even though I still don't think they will. We'll go into that a little bit. But, like, if they do trade Jimmy in, like, the next week or so, and we already know that Wade's opting in, I feel like now there's a pretty good chance that if they do that, then, and they completely rebuild, they go with all these young guys, then around, you know, February after the trade deadline, Dwayne Wade is probably going to end up taking a buyout, and that way he'll get all his money from the Bulls, and then he'll get to go either go to Cleveland, play with LeBron, or go to the Clippers, go to the Banana Boat Squad, start that up a little bit.
That would be something else, and I know we're looking really far in the future here on a massive hypothetical on several fronts, but I mean, I'm glad you're saying it's in the realm of possibility. You know what I mean?
I'm not reporting that. I'm obviously, like, this is way far out, but it's just, it would not surprise me if that happened.
Yeah, so, I mean, the one silver lining I would love, and this is a good segue into, the Bulls could trade Jimmy Butler come Thursday night during the NBA draft, because there's a lot of chatter around this. If they do, Dwayne Wade would probably morph into, like, final years Kobe mode, where he says absolutely kind of anything he wants, and is a little grumpy, but also respects this, respects that, will call anything out. You know what I mean? You could get a little bit of that. Obviously, Dwayne is very media savvy, and Kobe was always a little edgier when it came to public stances than Dwayne, but you could get that old man is grumpy thing.
I'm kind of excited about that, and it's not like, you know, Wade opted in thinking that the Bulls are going to be a championship contender. He knows the best case scenario is he opts in, they keep everybody in the team is the same as it was last year. They'd be around 500 and then lose in the first round. But, like, him being on, like, this 25-win team, like they probably would be if they traded Jimmy Butler, like, that's
would
just
be pure entertainment.
It's gonna be so good for us. I'm kind of rooting for that to happen now, just for the coverage and the content.
So what are the chances do we think of that actually happening? The Bulls trading Jimmy Butler, and oh boy, where to start on this Tuesday? We had a long podcast that we dropped Monday night. Recording this one Tuesday night. The morning opened up with Joe Calley of the Sun-Times reporting that Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, the stars of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been to 3 straight NBA Finals, had reached out to Jimmy Butler to basically gauge his interest on whether he would like to play in Cleveland. Calley, more or less, what's the proper way to put it, said that Jimmy Butler would be open to playing for the Cavaliers. Is that a fair way to assess it? I mean, there's a lot in there. A lot to go through on many fronts here, but that would probably be a fair way to characterize how Calley reported Butler's approach or standing.
I would go farther than he's open to it. I think in that report it says that he's pushing to get the deal done. He's pushing the Bulls to get the deal done, which was later contradicted a few minutes ago by Mark Stein at ESPN, who said that sources told him that the Cavaliers have been informed that Butler hopes to stay with the Bulls and would be reluctant to commit to a long-term future in Cleveland.
So this is difficult to discern, because every time Jimmy has publicly gone on the record about this, he's expressed nothing but a desire to remain in Chicago. And you'll say, well, of course, that's what he has to say. That's what everyone ever says.
And here's David Aldridge now, also from NBA.com. Says, source says Jimmy Butler has informed the Cavs that he wants to stay in Chicago rather than be traded to Cleveland. So there's two of the most high-level national guys.
All right, there's probably a wrap on that front, I guess, Jimmy Butler to the Cavs talks. But I would say Jimmy has always said he would like to win in Chicago, and that's been his public stance. And he's obviously been upset behind the scenes at times, just in the way some things played out. He's never been on the same page with Fred Hoiberg, we know that. But Jimmy does know the most cash, the biggest contract could come in Chicago in a few years. And it's also a place where he likes living in this city. And he liked being around Dwayne Wade last year. Now, the team, the rest of it, I don't know how much he wants to be around these Bulls, but he does want to win here. What moves can they make? We don't know, because Jimmy Butler is still on the table, and that's the first domino that has to go or fall. So, moving on down the line, Boston Celtics are still in play here, though. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that, right? Like, this has been the team, like, for all this maneuvering with other teams and trade rumors and the Timberwolves being thrown in there, the Cavs, and look, I think the Cavs' interest probably was serious.
Absolutely, it was serious.
Griffin in. I don't know how serious the Wolves talks were compared to the Cavs. That seems a little more of Tibbs' heart just wants what his heart wants, but it's not actually, practically speaking, going very far down the road, where I think the Cavs thing went farther down the road. But
By the way, we went into the Timberwolves and the Cavs stuff in a lot more depth on yesterday's episode, so if you really want like a long discussion of that, go listen to that.
Yeah, but as far as the maneuvering, like, all of that could have been leaking somewhat from the Bulls to help drive up the price of Jimmy Butler with the Celtics, potentially. Do you view it that way? How serious are the Celtics still in play here? What do you think?
I mean, I still believe that if he does get traded, it's going to be to the Celtics. And I don't know exactly what the package is going to be, but I would have to think it would involve the number three pick, plus, you know, one of those other future picks, like maybe the Brooklyn one or something else. But
ESPN's,
I think,
ESPN's Ramona Shelbourne reported the Bulls are interested in Kansas forward Josh Jackson, who, it should be noted, is probably the front runner to go at number three, if not number three, probably number four. So if the Bulls are that interested in him, it would take the trade with the Celtics at three, or some sort of deal with the Suns and scenario there at four, to have a chance at Josh Jackson. But if you really like him, like, three is probably the safe place to move up. So that would be a signal, if the Bulls do want to hit the rebuild button, that they need to trade with the Celtics. So again, that's who they had serious discussions with last year on draft night, a couple nights after they traded Derrick Rose. They engaged in those discussions seriously about Jimmy Butler, had those less seriously ahead of the February trade deadline, but still talked a little bit. So, like, that's still what makes sense, probably. I don't know. I still have Jimmy Butler being a Bull on Chicago, being a Chicago Bull on Friday morning is still my guess.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of chatter, but there was a lot of chatter. Like, it seemed like, that, you know, there were people reporting last year that the Timberwolves thing was done on draft night.
Yeah. I mean, just today, we have Vinny Goodwill of CSNChicago.com, who broke the news on Dwayne Wade opting in to the Chicago Bulls, also pointed out that the Denver Nuggets were involved with the Bulls ahead of the trade deadline a bit.
And I had heard that, too.
Yeah, and he says that the Bulls engaged the Celtics in a Jimmy Butler for the number three pick straight up, which was obviously not consummated here because it hasn't gone through yet. I would think the Celtics would do that right away. So I'm a little unclear here on the details. I don't think there was actually proposals exchanged right there, Jimmy Butler straight up for the number three pick from the Bulls' end. And I think that's because, again, I think the Celtics would jump on that immediately.
I think on both ends that's a little bit shaky because I think that the Bulls would ask for more than that. At least maybe eventually they're talked down to that, but I don't think that's going to be their opening offer. Like, hey, we'll just do it for this straight up. And I've talked to a couple of Celtics people today, and I really get the sense that if that was on the table, the Celtics would not say no to that.
Yeah, and like, look, that's a deal that, again, Sean said you could be talked down into it. That's a deal that happens when you're on the clock on draft night. You know what I mean? That's something that happens when you're panicking a little bit, when you're under the urgent pressure of a deadline. Like, that's not a deal when your starting point last year was the number three pick and at least two more assets and reportedly three more assets a year ago. That's not a pick or a development here that feels like a starting point. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. There was something else in Vinny's report that I thought was a little bit weird, too, which was Fred Hoiberg. Apparently, you know, they believe in Fred Hoiberg so strongly that because, you know, he doesn't have a great relationship with Jimmy Butler, you know, because of the coach us harder stuff and just kind of other stuff, that he, you know, that they want to trade him just basically to give Fred more room to operate. And I feel like if they believed in Fred so strongly that they're willing to just trade Jimmy just for the sake of it, that they maybe could have come up with one specific thing that he's good at besides, well, he's under contract at the press conference.
Yeah, this is, it's all very confusing. And there will be, if Jimmy Butler is still a Bull on Friday, and day one of training camp, because you can conceivably still trade him after draft night and some of the free agency plays out maybe, I don't foresee that. I still think draft night's the night that it would happen here on Thursday. But there's going to be a lot of fallout because this would be the third time Jimmy Butler's found his name significantly amid trade rumors. And look, I said I still think, I'm going to believe that Jimmy Butler's going to be a Chicago Bull and think that until he's not, because we've heard this so many times and the front office is historically conservative. And I also don't think, I think the Bulls have probably set a high price. You know, you hear this, like when the New York Knicks with Kristaps Porzingis reportedly being available or whatever. You hear
that was shot down pretty quickly.
Yeah, you hear a couple hours later, their asking price was outrageous. Like, I don't think the Bulls have an outrageous asking price for Jimmy Butler. I think they know that he's their one sole trade chip, really. He is their one card they can play for a rebuild, and they have to max out value if they're going to play that card. So I think that probably points at a high price, and one that teams still are going to be a little hesitant to get to, given that Jimmy has two more years of team control and then will probably opt out in summer 2019. There's a lot of wear and tear on him too. Top five in minutes in the league the last 4 years, I believe. So there are some things there that still just point me toward him being a Bull on Friday. And if he is, there's a lot of fallout, again, with interpersonal relationships with him in the front office. And, I mean, Vinny reporting that suggests that, obviously, the coaching staff, management, and Jimmy are kind of all at odds here over what's going on. And I will say this, like, I don't think if the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler, it's because they have a belief in the coaching staff to make a different roster a lot better. They're trading him because they need max talent for a rebuild. But I will say this, I don't think the coaching staff would be sad to see Jimmy Butler go. They might be sad to miss out on his 35 points on a Tuesday night to beat the Nets at home and his buzzer beater, but look, he's high maintenance for Fred Hoiberg. He is. He just is. He doesn't listen well to Fred Hoiberg. We've seen this multiple times. Late game situations, Fred tells him to go with 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, 7 seconds left in the game, so if he misses a shot, the Bulls can have a chance to get a rebound, you know what I mean? And Jimmy waits till the buzzer and gets fouled and makes two shots and then says, yeah, I was going to do what I wanted, kind of, you know, like, coach said do this, I decided to do that. It was an infamous comment where coach said, go for two or something. I'm like, nah, I'll take a three, or coach one of the, it was one way or the other. Like, look, he is high maintenance for the coaching staff. He works really hard. He's really good. But his tie to Chicago is he's awesome at basketball. Best player they have. Ownership, I think, loves him. The front office highly respects and values him, and the coaching staff likes that he's good at basketball but has to put up with him on the daily basis. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I would think so. But the reason this whole thing doesn't really... And by the way, just to be 100% clear here, Vinny's a friend of the program. Vinny's been on the podcast before. Vinny does a lot of really great work. We're not in any way saying, oh, well, Vinny's just, you know, throwing this stuff out there. Like, no.
I just don't think that exactly was on the table really far.
I just don't think this particular report really adds up. None of this is, like, a shot at Vinny or anything like that. Because, you know, Vinny's our guy.
But... Oh, you can take a shot at Vinny if you want. Like, I think... Vinny would just fire back about the Jimmy thing. You know what I mean? No. I don't think Vinny's going to have any problem firing back at us. Like, well, I mean, we'll solve this over pizza and a beer after a Bulls game if we need to sometime.
You absolutely.
Know what I mean?
But
he's
like,
our guy.
But, like, yeah, so shout out to Vinny. But, like, the idea that it would somehow come down to them having to choose between Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg, and they pick Fred Hoiberg, like, that would just be the most short-sighted. Like, I know Fred's under contract for a couple
more
years.
They would be picking rebuild.
They would be, right, but it's like, if you're picking between, you know, your all-NBA, you know, top 10-ish, kind of top 10 to 15 player in the league, and a coach that you yourself have basically said without saying that you don't even believe in, like, unless your coach is Greg Popovich, you always take the star player over the coach, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much a tried and truism in the NBA there. I do think it'd be fun to see Fred Hoiberg just coach a completely young rebuilding team. Like, I think that might be cool.
Oh, purely selfishly, in terms of us covering this team on a day-to-day basis, I'd rather have a 25-win team with a whole bunch of 19-year-old kids with Fred Hoiberg having the freedom than just running back what we had to deal with last year.
Yeah, we always like things that are new in the media. Love anything that's new, and that would represent something new that's certainly not shiny yet, but maybe could be shiny like 4 years down the road in contention,
yeah,
or something. But, like, I mean, it obviously worked in college, and that was the age range that he did his best work at with, you know, like 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and then all of a sudden you have a team full of 22, 23-year-olds. Maybe that would be more his fit style, but...
Oh, an underrated thing, by the way, about, like, a possible Celtics-Butler trade.
What?
This trade that happened today where the Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell and that Timofey Mozgov contract to the Nets for Brook Lopez and the 27th pick.
Yep.
That could potentially affect the records of both the Nets and the Lakers, which could potentially affect the picks that the Celtics have, both from the Nets and from the Lakers, that they could maybe include in a trade.
How drastically do you think this affects the records of the Lakers and Nets? I think the Lakers get better because of it, because...
Well, I think it's setting the Lakers up to do another trade for Paul George. And in that case, they're definitely not getting the Lakers pick, because it's only 2 through 5.
Correct.
I
think even if they don't have Paul George, that Lopez could help them be, like, the 7th or 8th worst team instead of the 3rd worst team, you know what I mean?
Right, and I mean, I don't think this makes the Nets drastically better, but, like, if they have D'Angelo Russell now, maybe...
I don't think it makes them... I think they get worse. They get significantly worse.
Right, but now they also... Like, they still might, like, be even more aggressive. They still have... Even with taking this Mozgov contract on, they still have a ton of cap space. They got rid of Brook Lopez's money. Now they have even more money to go out and say... You know, hey,
they don't have more money yet because Mozgov's money replaced his.
No, it doesn't. Lopez making 20, Mozgov's making like 16. Okay. It's not quite as much.
I don't think a $4 million player for them is going
to
make a difference.
No, but they're going to have more money to, like, go out and throw money at these, you know, restricted guys. Maybe they get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to go with D'Angelo Russell, and then maybe, like,
I think the Nets got a few games worse for next year by trading Lopez and adding Russell to the floor, is what I think, which actually benefits the Celtics and makes that pick more likely to be way up there, right? Is it number one? Is that one number one protected?
Or is that
completely unprotected?
It's totally unprotected.
I get all the Celtics ownership rights to picks and protections mixed up there.
Well, the reason it's confusing is because the Celtics now, there's a new rule. It used to be that if you had an unprotected pick from another team, you could only trade it if it stayed unprotected. Now there's a new rule as of last year that they could actually put their own protections on somebody else's pick that they own. So if the Celtics and Bulls wanted to, they could do trade where, like, the Celtics would do, like, top one or top two protections on the Brooklyn pick and give it to the Bulls. When we talked about it yesterday, I wouldn't do that. I would need it to be totally unprotected. But that's just, you know, it's just something else to think about, just this trade that happened today. Everything has a ripple effect around the NBA.
That's an excellent point. Do you think the Suns are lying in the weeds here whatsoever? Like, could you envision a scenario in which we have this huge buildup? Like, the Celtics have, what, the number 3 pick on Thursday night? The draft starts, I believe, at 6:30.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes per pick, per team. So we're looking 640, 645-ish here. Celtics, all this build-up, are they going to trade with the Bulls? And then they don't. And then turn around and 5 minutes later, the Suns and Bulls do a deal.
It'll depend on who each team drafts. I think if...
The Suns surprise and take Jason Tatum, leaving Josh Jackson on the board. or excuse me, the Celtics surprise and take Tatum and leave Josh Jackson on the board.
Or if either one of those teams takes De'Aaron Fox, and that might mean that player is gone. Because, I mean, the Celtics wouldn't take Fox for themselves because they just traded away the opportunity to take Markelle Fultz because they thought they had too many point guards, and Phoenix has a million guards too, so they probably wouldn't take Fox.
Anything? Would you be surprised, though? I don't think any of us would be surprised if the Bulls and Celtics made a trade on draft night, obviously. Would you be surprised, though, if the Suns and Bulls did straight up?
I would be more surprised than I would be about the Celtics, but it wouldn't shock me. Those are the two teams, I think, because Minnesota, we talked about this yesterday, the Thibodeau thing is not happening. But I think those are the two teams, because the Cavs don't have the pieces to really do it without all these complications. I would be, the Celtics and the Suns are the two teams that I could realistically see actually doing the trade.
Okay, not surprised by either of mine.
But I still think it's going to be the Celtics or no one at all.
Okay. I'm kind of with you at the same spot. Dang it, we were supposed to disagree on something there. You didn't throw Danny Ainge in enough for me to, like, criticize your take on him or fans.
You want me to go in on the Celtics fans again? Because I was seeing some tweets this morning from various people, including my friend Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer, who I like and I think is really good and I think does great work.
You're not going to have any friends by the time this podcast's over.
No, he's my...
Vinny and Kevin being...
No, Kevin's my guy, but like...
thrown under the bus.
But like, no, but this is just like, I mean, and I'm sure he would admit that he's a giant Celtics homer too, but like, he basically said like, you know, they were talking about like, oh, you know, in that hour where it seemed like Porzingis was going to be available.
What was he saying?
Basically that like, the number three pick and next year's like Lakers pick is too much to give up for D'Angelo Russell. Like there were some Celtics people saying that, or not for D'Angelo, for Porzingis. And it's like, really? Like
number three and a number one, this year's number three and a number one next year, first rounder next year for Porzingis. I do that in a heartbeat every single time to get Porzingis on my team.
It wasn't just Kevin. It was like a bunch of other like Celtics media people who were saying like, that's too much to give up. And it's like, really?
No.
So.
No. Kristaps is going to be, 4 years from now, he'll be a top five player in the league? Fair.
Maybe.
Fair.
Possibly.
I think it's very possible.
That's possible.
I'm really confident in saying 4 years from now, he'll be all NBA, I think. I don't know, maybe you're not on the train as well. I love Kristaps.
I like Porzingis. It's just, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, top five
a lot of great young talent.
Like, Steph and Russ and Durant are still going to be in their primes then. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be, like, entering his prime. Anthony
Russ
Davis,
won't quite
like.
Be in his prime. I don't know.
He's a guy I would give up a lot of future picks and stuff for.
Completely agree. What other trade rumors, trade notes, trade shenanigans, speculation do we need to throw?
Well, we need to talk about I think, and this one came kind of out of left field. It's something we haven't even ever really talked about before. But Milos Teodosic, the Serbian point guard who is the 2010 EuroLeague MVP,
plays in Moscow now.
He's supposedly trying to enter the NBA this year. He went undrafted in 2014, but he has a lot of
skills.
You know, in his GM survey before this past season, GMs voted him like the best international player not in the NBA. There was a report today from Eurohoops.net that the Bulls are preparing to make a run for him. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Cody has some thoughts about the report.
I mean, yeah, the report was great. This is great info. Said the Bulls, among NBA teams, are considered the favorites. Now, his CSKA Moscow team is said to be offering him 5 years and $30 million, and maybe he really likes playing in Europe and doesn't want to come to the NBA. I don't know. There weren't quotes from the man in this one, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, I mean, this is just one of the most fire, like, news reports I've ever seen in my life. The last sentence of it says that Teodosic is considered the most creative passer in the world.
I think
the most creative passer in the entire world.
I think LeBron and Chris Paul and Ricky Rubio might have something to say
about that. Oh my goodness.
Rajon Rondo might have something to say about that.
How many people are in the world? Like 8 billion now almost or something? Like, I'm going to have to look this up. Like, if this man is really the best passer in the world, I think the Bulls got to go get him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're just looking up the world's population.
7.3 billion, but it's on a trajectory to be 8 billion by the time he's a potential Chicago Bull, maybe. That's my guess.
Okay.
He is the best passer out of the 7.347 billion people in the entire world.
There's another line in there that you liked, too.
Yeah. Yeah, in hindsight, so obviously Serbian roots for Teodosic, and he said Teodosic can even be a household name for the Bulls, considering the thriving Serbian community in Chicago, which I do not dispute. I was at the United Center when Jokic was there with the Nuggets, and the Serbian fans were absolutely a hoot. There were a lot of them, a lot of flags, went nuts for him walking in and off the court. But just, if you read the report and the tenor of it, it's like, I don't think a 30-year-old point guard who's got 38% career point, three-point shooting in his career in Europe is really going to be a household name in Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're taking this a bit far about what he could mean to the Bulls. So, throwing the name out there, Teodosic, played for Serbia. They got a silver medal in the Olympics, lost to Team USA. He had a pretty darn good game against USA in pool play. Didn't play very well in the gold medal game where Team USA tried a lot harder and played more defense. So, I don't know. Does this mean anything? Does this, you know, grind the gears? Does it get Bulls fans excited? Like, what are we feeling here?
I mean, I can feel confident in saying he could step in right now and be a better point guard than Jerian Grant or Michael Carter-Williams or Cameron Payne.
That's true.
So
that's true. Above average three-point shooter and the best passer in the world. Boom. It's 6'5", 2", good size. I do not believe he's a transcendent athlete, though. I'm pretty confident in saying that. In only having seen him play twice in my life, I think, in Olympic basketball, and not remembering anything of him, I still think I can say he's not a transcendent athlete or younger and more athletic.
He's also 30, so that's a thing to think about, too.
Okay.
So that would just be the most Bulls move imaginable if their big, like, signing is, hey, we're going to get younger and more athletic.
The most creative passer in the world. I can't throw the word history in there. There might be someone who's better. Who has since passed away.
Yeah, I think Steve Nash or Magic Johnson.
The most creative passer in the world, currently at least, averaged 6.8 assists per game last year. I would have thought he probably would have averaged at least double-digit assists if he was the greatest passer in the world right now.
Well, he just wasn't passing to his great players as the Bulls have, like Cameron Payne and Denzel Valentine.
Because Denzel Valentine and Bobby Portis finished so well at the rim.
Absolutely.
He would average at least 17 assists in Chicago.
He's going to get Paul Zipser 25 points a game.
I hope I eat my words on all of this and he comes out and, like, they sign him and no one knows who he is and he comes out and just drops, like, 22 dimes on opening night and is, like, playing with the flair for the dramatic and just pointing and, you know what I mean? Like, these are the things I root for, is just random craziness.
I'm down.
Sign me up for the best passer in the world right now in Chicago. But, I don't know. There's that. There's what else? Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Trade rumors.
Sean
Everybody's
Debney,
available sometimes.
Sean Debney from the Sporting News reported this morning that the Rockets are shopping Beverley. I mean, he'd be a good fit. He can shoot. He can defend. He's a good, you know, he can play off the ball next to Butler, or he could run the point. Like, I think it's a good fit, but they have nothing to trade.
He'd be a phenomenal fit if they decide to keep Butler and go ahead next year. You know what I mean? He'd be phenomenal. If you trade Butler and somehow end up with Beverly, that would make zero sense to me because he's a win now guy.
They also have absolutely nothing to trade the Rockets would be interested in.
Yeah, that's 100% true as well, unless the Rockets are really, really trying to clear cap space for some unanticipated move and, like,
could take Rondo's contract
that would save him, what, probably $10 million next year or something like that.
Like Isaiah Cannon.
And then, like, maybe another piece they want or something. You know what I mean?
Maybe they also were really high on Cameron Payne going into the draft.
Something tells me they probably weren't, but you can't rule anything out in the NBA. So I think that takes care of most of the Tuesday fun.
Watch, we're gonna put this up. Yeah, we're gonna put this up today, and then, like, Jimmy Butler's gonna get traded like
midnight,
5 minutes after
midnight
it goes
shenanigans.
Up.
Well, you'll just have to wait one more day if that happens for our reaction, I suppose. Because touched on most all of the fun that went down during the day, we will drop another podcast Wednesday evening leading up to the draft on Thursday at the Advocate Center, where we expect a dramatic half hour of will the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler leading up to the number 3 and 4 picks in the draft, and then I guess all the way till 16 when they pick. There will be plenty of action going on, but we will keep you updated here on Locked On Bulls, which you can email at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with basketball questions, advertising inquiries, always welcome. Follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook by its name. Sean can be followed on Twitter at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlund. Find Sean's work with The Athletic. Please subscribe to them. They're doing great work. Maybe the best app on your whole phone once you download it. Find my work at 670thescore.com. And most of all, please subscribe to the podcast, friends.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.